Welcome to The Fountain, where it's our desire to connect with God, to grow in Jesus, and to engage the world in His name. As you listen to this message, we pray that you allow God to speak to your heart, and that His words might motivate you to life change. Come to The Fountain, a place where you belong.
Moving forward, amen? I want you to stand with me right now. I am so glad that you're here this morning. And if you're online with us, I am so glad that you're joining us online today. Together, we are gathering to lift up the name of Jesus, proclaim the Word of God in our lives, and commit to walking it out in obedience. Amen? Well, we've started this series. We're in our third week called Forward. And we have a little motto we want to say together. So everybody together on three. It's right on the screen. Well, It's right on the screen with us. So on three, let's say it together. One, two, three. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over. In you, old things are made new. I surrender my life to Christ. I'm moving forward. Do you believe it? Stay standing. I want to read a scripture right now. It's the theme scripture that's carried us through the first 2 weeks, and it's going to carry us a little further. Out of Philippians 3, let's honor God in His Word. Not that I have already obtained this or am already perfect, but I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me His own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Amen? Let me read this to you. The one who composed the songs of the birds, fashioned the orbits of the planets, formed the cycles of history, and plotted the pathways of the great whales, that one has a unique design for your life. And my friends, that one also thinks that there is nothing more important than fulfilling it. That's a quote from David Jeremiah's book called Forward. It's a profound truth about God, about the Creator, about the planter of dreams and visions within you and within me. The fulfiller of all that He begins. God doesn't leave anything undone. He is a completer, and He wants to complete you and me. And He's the only one that can complete you and me. And He put this plan in motion thousands of years ago. Forward. That's what God gave me to give you. That's what He gave to give me to give us. Looking straight ahead, claiming and pursuing the dreams and the visions that God has planted in each of us. It's yours and it's my greatest privilege. It's our greatest honor. But it won't happen if we keep hanging on to the past. It won't happen if we keep clinging to the things that are weighing us down, that are keeping our focus off of looking forward and keeping our focus on that rearview mirror. As Proverbs told us and we've said the last couple weeks, let's keep our eyes looking forward and our gaze straight before us. While there are and always will be people, events, and things that will get in our way, and I'm sure the devil is behind most of it, straining forward, as Paul tells us, will make us that much more focused, that much more determined, and make our resolve that much more intense to do and be what God has planted us to do and be. But we must not worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow has troubles of its own, Scripture says. God has given us everything we need for today, so we need to take and seize our tomorrow today. But let me tell you one more thing that keeps us from moving forward before I get into the meat of the message. Sin. We may hear from God. God's planted a dream in us. And we're praying, and we don't know why we're not getting any traction. But some of those limitations, some of those things that get in the way are our very own sin. Because, see, God wants us to move forward. He wants clean hands and a pure heart. He wants to know that we're on board and we trust Him fully. And sometimes, all we have to look, we don't look very far for those limitations because sometimes they reign right here, or right here, or right here, or right here. Some of the things that go against God's will, we need to throw off. We need to repent of. We need to ask forgiveness from. So God has the whole. We just got done singing about fully surrendered. Fully surrendered mean that we letting go of those things that are keeping us down. And one of those things are sin. So are you ready to move forward? I know I've been sick with COVID a few weeks ago, but and my ears are unclogged now, but I didn't hear many people say that you're ready to move forward. I think I heard more people online than I heard in the room. So I'm going to say it one more time. Are you ready to move forward?
Yes.
Yes, let's pray. Father God, I love you so much, and your people love you so much, God. And so many things get in our way, distract us, detour us, ruin our vision, God. It makes it blurry, but God, we want to see you clearly. We want to hear you so purely, so clearly, God, that there's no mistake. God, we know that you're in us and you're guiding us, but God, we need to surrender every day all to you as we move forward, God. You've planted a dream in each one of us, God, and we know that there are limitations. We know that there's things that are going to get in the way, and some of those things you'll put in our way so that we'll grow, Father, but there are many things that will try to deter us from moving forward, God. We pray your strength today. We pray this word that we will hear today from your word, God, will not return void. We pray, Father, that we'll open our hearts and receive, Holy Spirit, what you have to say to us today. Have your way in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, there are ample examples in Scripture where people had no vision until God got a hold of them. And all of them had something get in their way on their journey to complete the vision. Moses was stuck on the backside of the desert for years, unaware of God's future for him. Naomi was trapped in Moab after the deaths of her husband and her sons. Elijah was stuck in the wilderness, feeling sorry for himself after his failure to bring about the revival he had hoped for Israel. Ezekiel was stranded in Babylon at age 30, frustrated he couldn't enter his priestly service in Jerusalem at the temple. Peter was caught in the dark. A dark, depressive cycle on Saturday before Easter. Thomas was cast into a faithless spirit when he missed the Savior's appearance on Easter Sunday. Paul was stuck in Troas where a great door of evangelism was open for him, but he had no peace of mind because of anxiety about problems that were going on in the Corinthian church. And the Apostle John was exiled on the island of Patmos, lonely and unable to continue his ministry. Or so he thought. Church, God has a design for every situation and every person. By God's grace, each of the people I just mentioned managed to get themselves unstuck and they went forward onto their greatest days of usefulness for the Lord. Will your name be on that list? Years from now, when people think of you, will they speak about how you didn't let things or people or sin get in the way of reaching that God-sized dream in you? Will they say that about you? Alexander Graham Bell said, "When one door closes, another opens, but we often look so long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which has opened for us." We need to pray for God's eyes. Scripture says, "Open the eyes of my heart, Lord." Another quote I found said, "The answer to every adversity lies in courageously moving forward with faith." John Wooden, famous basketball coach, said this. Many people quote him. "If we fail to adapt, we fail to move forward." There are things, though, you've got to grow. Along the way, God's got things for you to trust him more in, but you have to grow through those things. He's expecting maturity. He's expecting you to become more like his son. Through this church, no matter what we perceive or what actually is our excuse or justification for pausing, for stopping, or for not moving forward, and believe me, I've had them and I know you've had them, but if we care about God and what he's about, we will choose to move forward no matter what. We are called to pursue, to risk, to invest, and to believe. That's what today's message is about in light of moving forward. It's about pursuing. And in pursuing, there's going to be some risk. Scripture promises it. There's going to be some investment. More than you actually know. More than you're probably thinking about. But through it all, you have to believe. if God planted it in you and you're going through this, that he has a purpose in it. Amen? So that's our message today. To pursue, to risk, to invest, and to believe. Let me read to you now out of John. It'll be on the screen as well. But out of the book of John, chapter 5, I want to read to you a familiar story that speaks to this very topic. Starting with verse 1. After there was a feast of Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which was 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" Funny question. The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I am going, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." What did he do? He got up, took up his bed, and he walked. Jesus said, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." He gave him an immediate vision, an immediate dream. He's wanted to walk, but he had limitations in his own mind, his heart. But when Jesus spoke the word over him, he did what Jesus said, and he was able to get up and walk. In Ezekiel 1:12, it says, "And each went straight forward. Wherever the Spirit would go, they went without turning as they went." Do you find yourself turning from the plan, getting detoured? Maybe you are pursuing God's dream for you right now, that dream that he's planted, but you've gotten off the pathway. Maybe you've had a setback and you've given up. Maybe you've planted yourself too long in where you are. Maybe the season that you were in, you weren't meant to be in that long. It was just for a short time. It's time to move out of that season. 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear," right? "But of power and of love and of a sound mind." He's given us all we need, Scripture says, to live a godly life, to do what Christ called us to do. Jesus also told us that he had come that we may have life and have it more abundantly, right? And we are also told to never be lacking in zeal, but to keep our spiritual fervor doing what? Doing what? Serving the Lord. Keep our spirit. You know what spiritual fervor is? It's being excited and passionate about it. Lord, oh, Lord, do I have to do that? No, Lord, I get to do that. It's along the way. And it's doing something for you. So does that sound like you? Do you pursue and risk and invest and believe in the dream, in the vision God has planted in you? Maybe you're still in the beginning stages saying, "God, what is my vision? What are you planting in me?" That's what this fast is for. I hope you've been participating. I hope you've been praying and seeking God in his word, because they go together. All of these, abstaining, praying, and in God's word, it all goes together so you can know, so God will open your heart, the eyes of your heart, and you can see what God is calling you to. You don't have to stay stuck. You can move forward, but you got to seek God, because it's God's dream in you, and it's about you as part of the greater picture of his kingdom. A friend stopped in my office this last week to chat. He does every once in a while. He came in, I think it was Monday, and he sat down, and we started talking about a few things. And he says, we started talking about God's word and study, and he's part of a Bible study that I'm part of. And he said, "You know, I wish I knew God's word more. I wish I had more time for God's word." And I looked at him, and I said, "You are very good at what you do." He's really good at his skill. He's passionate. He studies. He goes and serves. He's looking for new things all the time. I said, "You are great at what you do. I see it all the time. And when you talk about it, I see your eyes light up, and I hear it in your voice that you love what you do." Then I said this: we make time for what we love and what we're passionate about. I wasn't afraid to say that to him, because we have a relationship. He trusts me, and I trust him. Is that something you need to be reminded of? That whatever you love and whatever you're passionate about, you'll make time for. we have to make time for God. If we want God's will in our life, we have to make time to hear it, to see it, to feel it, the experience that comes from spending time with Him in prayer and being in His Word. Friends, to generate forward momentum, we must evaluate our activities. Delete the things of lesser importance and keep the things of greater worth. There are many things that are good, but friends, Christ followers, we are not called to just good. We are called to great things. Scripture tells us things, especially when they're attached to the vision of God that He's planted us. If He's planted the visions, every part of that vision is great, and that's what you need to pursue, and there will be things in your life that you have to let go of. They're good, but they're not part of that dream, and you got to let them go. Thank God for them. Thank the people involved for them. Be grateful, but you got to let go sometimes. Pursue, risk, invest, believe. When we pursue that God dream and vision, there will be risk. There will always be an investment required of you, and you will always have to believe that God called you to it, and He will bring it to completion. In Deuteronomy 31, it says, "Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel." I could just see that picture. He says he called and said to him in the sight of all Israel. I mean, I can just see a gathering of folks, and he's telling Joshua this. He said, "Be strong and of good courage, for you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to the fathers to give." He was validating Joshua's leadership. "And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed." Maybe that's a limitation you have. Maybe you're fear. You're full of fear. Maybe you're dismayed. See, the type of fear, it's not, I don't think it's wrong. We all have a little fear in us about things. But a healthy fear, the fear that's not of God, is the fear that keeps you from moving forward. It's the fear that keeps you paralyzed. And are we not told in 2 Corinthians that God's strength is made perfect in what? Our weakness. Lord, I want to boast about my weakness. I am so weak. How weak are you? No, that's not a joke. It could be. But how weak are we? Because that's where God is made strong. And so boast all the more. Boast all the more about your weakness. God will make you strong when you need to be strong. I can and do admit that I am weak in many areas of my life, and I miss the mark so many times, trying to do too much or doing the things I'm not supposed to do. I know that I have to constantly work on my priorities to stop doing what I'm not supposed to do and do more of what God has called me to do. But these things I know. I am called with a responsibility before God. I am married with a responsibility to my wife. I am a parent with a responsibility to my sons. And I am a pastor with a responsibility to this congregation. And God would never intend for these things in my calling to be in conflict or work against each other. And when they do, it's my fault. They are what God's called me to do. And within each of those, God plants dreams and visions of moving forward. This is who I am. Now, who are you? What has God called you to? Those things, what God has called you to, will never be in conflict if they're God's plan for you and He's opened up the pathway and the doors for you to walk through. But sometimes we carry some stuff through the door. We carry things, drag things down the path that we were supposed to let go of. God would never intend for these things in my calling to be in conflict or work against each other. They're what God called me to, and within each of those, God plants the dreams and visions. And I gladly pursue and risk and invest and believe in my calling. Let me speak to each of those just real quickly. To pursue, we need to let go of the past, as we've stated before. Throw off anything that holds us back. You know what it says in Hebrews. Hebrews 12, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles." We spoke about that. "And then let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us." Let us run. Let us be exuberant. We're running for victory. We're running for glory. We're running for the finish line. We have to be excited about that. But we got to throw off that which entangles us, that which weighs us down. I came across a quote by Ruth Bell Graham. Now listen closely. I thought it was hilarious, but it proves the point. Every cat, how many are cat lovers? Well, a few of you. Ruth Bell Graham said, every cat knows some things need to be buried. You get it? Okay. All right. Funny for some, not so funny for others. In Psalm 37, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. What a great scripture. We aren't good in ourselves, though. We're only good in Christ. And in Christ, God not only orders our steps, but he delights in the way he guides us forward. He's got a plan. To risk means to have faith. Not every risk, though, is worth taking and attached to greater faith. But if you are too overwhelmed by fear to correctly assess your situation, you will miss many opportunities for growth, increased strength, deeper faith, and success. The result will be failure. One of my favorite books early on in my ministry, he wrote, Irwin McManus, who's the past lead pastor of Mosaic Church in California, he wrote a book called Seizing Your Divine Moments. I loved that book when I read it. A quote out of there says this, I want to reiterate the fact that the center of God's will is not a safe place, but the most dangerous place in the world. God fears nothing and no one. God moves with intentionality and with power. To live outside God's will puts us in danger, but to live in his will makes us dangerous. Is that not so cool? I used to pray over my kids, and I still do every once in a while when I remember to pray like this. I say, Father, keep them from danger, but make them dangerous. How do we get dangerous? We live for Christ the way he's called us to live. I want their prayers to be, I want their prayers to be righteous. I want their prayers to be successfully heard by God and successfully lived out. I pray for my sons. I speak words, not just my words, but I speak more importantly God's words to them. Remind them who they are and what they're capable of in God, in Christ, not on their own. Friends, if forward is the direction you choose, and I hope and I pray that it is, be prepared to take some faith-based risk. It will cost us something. We talked about that earlier. You don't want to give God anything that doesn't cost you something. Think about it. Moses wasn't playing it safe when he returned to Egypt to confront Pharaoh. Gideon wasn't playing it safe when he dismissed most of his army. David wasn't playing it safe when he approached Goliath. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego wasn't playing it safe when they refused to bow down to the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar. Esther didn't play it safe when she put her life on the line for her people, for God's people. And the disciples didn't play it safe when Jesus said, follow me. Because what did they do? They followed him. Are you following Jesus? Do you really know what that means? This is serious business to follow Jesus. It's not all, yay, let's dance in glory. There are tough times. There are trenches. There are valleys that you'll go through to follow Jesus. There's a cross you have to pick up and bear to follow Jesus. Some dreams God will plant in us, but someone else will complete. Ooh, that's a hard statement, because that's true sometimes. Some of the dreams that God has planted in you, he's planted that same dream over here. But sometimes you may not be around to see that dream completed. It may be completed by somebody else, but it's still nonetheless the dream that God has planted in you. It will require many people to complete that dream. Martin Luther King Jr., he said, I have a dream. He says, I say to you today, my friends, so even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. I have a dream that one day, key phrase, one day, this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal. Friends, that hasn't happened yet. All people don't see all people as equal. But that was a dream that was planted in this man. But that's a dream. He's gone. That hasn't been realized yet. So there are dreams that God plants that will require many people and will require time and people to get on board. And that's a dream too. There will be those dreams that will require to be passed down and pass the baton. Now it's your turn to front the dream. It's your turn to stand in the gap for the dream. It's your turn to teach others and encourage others about the dream. It's your turn to recruit others for the dream. But see, it's not going to take much recruiting, because if God's planted in you, He's already doing something in somebody else. You just have to walk in obedience and speak to somebody or listen to who God's prompting you to talk to. I've always loved the phrase, and some people don't like it, but reckless abandon. I've got it printed up on my desk. Reckless abandon. To live with the reckless abandon for God, though, you have to abandon your own plans, your own dreams. Because, and hear me when I say this, I have a dream. Our dreams, when we have dreams of God and we're open to them, those are His dreams in you. But sometimes we get detoured and we say, no, I want to do this. Or I want to do this. Lord, my dream is to have the to play the lottery and win the lottery and just bless everybody. Amen and amen. That's good. Yeah, that may be your dream. But God knows you better than anybody. And God said, God may know that, well, if I bless you with that, you'll never trust me again. If I bless you with that, you'll never call on me to take care of you anymore. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Come on. Ephesians 2:10, this isn't on your screen, but God tells us that He created you in His image and for good works. And He closes it with that He's already prepared in advance for you. He knows the steps you're supposed to take, the people you're supposed to meet, the opportunities you're supposed to accept. We aren't called to play it safe. We are called by God into the dangerous but glorious pursuit of a vision that will require some risk. And we're called to invest. You can't give God anything that doesn't cost you anything. Time, money, energy, thought, just to name a few. But it begins with investment in God's Word. That's where we get our direction. Psalm 119 says, Your Word, Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. His Word also tells us that the grass withers and the flower falls away, but the work of the Lord endures forever. Remember that God is in charge of the results and that God cares about you and loves you even more than the dream He has planted in you. He wants you. I believe that sometimes the dream, while purposed by God, can also be a means to an end. The end being, you will trust God more and let Him be your completeness. Invest in God's Word. Invest in God's work. Devote yourself to the local church where your treasure is. There your heart will be also. And then believe. Believe that all that He's planted in you will come true. So every step is important, and don't evade it. Don't take a shortcut. It takes a positive attitude to move forward. Be positive in your convictions. Be positive about God's love for you. Be positive about God's plan for you. Be positive in your conversations. Speak positively to yourself and to others. When the hardships come on the journey to accomplishing the vision, and they will, be positive. The Creator of the universe is with you. Ephesians 4 tells us, let everything you say be good and be helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to others who hear you. Positivity draws people to the dream. While I was down with COVID in December for a while, I had time to watch some of my favorite movies. I didn't feel real well, but I took the opportunity to sit down and watch some of those long movies that I like. The trilogy of The Lord of the Rings. I love it. The Two Towers, The Return of the King. They're about 3 hours apiece, and I watch them back to back. Well, I didn't this time, but I've done that before. I want you to see this movie clip from God spoke to me at the end of Two Towers. He just, my mind was in the right. I'm always thinking about the messages I'm about to preach or coming up, but the Lord, this illustration just helped me. I said, thank you, Lord. I want you to see this clip right now. Would you play it, Kelly?
this. I know. It's all wrong. By rights, we shouldn't even be here. But we are. It's like in the great stories, Mr. Frodo. The ones that really mattered. Full of darkness and danger they were. And sometimes you didn't want to know the end. Because how could the end be happy? How could the world go back to the way it was when so much bad had happened? But in the end, it's only a passing thing. The shadow. Even darkness must pass. A new day will come. And when the sun shines, it'll shine out the clearer. Those were the stories that stayed with you, that meant something, even if you were too small to understand why. But I think, Mr. Frodo, I do understand. I know now. Folk in those stories had lots of chances of turning back, only they didn't. They kept going. Because they were holding on to something. What are we holding on to, Sam? But there's some good in this world, Mr. Frodo. And it's worth fighting for.
Sam talks about that there is still some good worth fighting for. The people in those stories could have turned back, but they kept moving forward because it was worth it to go through all of that, to realize the dream, to get to the place that we're called to go. Friends, we can't do everything, but we can always do our Father's will. We can fulfill His design for our days. Everything God asks you to do is connected to His plan and His will, and it is good, pleasing, and perfect, as it tells us in the book of Romans. And anything God has you doing is worth fighting for. Moving forward and not turning back. I want to read an excerpt from David Jeremiah's book called Forward. I love it. And I want to move towards closing the message this way. Maybe you have a handicap or a chronic illness, or you are caring for someone who does. Maybe you have a dysfunctional family member who doesn't, who is hard to deal with or love. You might be on a fixed income, or maybe you want to, but you can't afford to go to college. Maybe your job has been phased out, or your hours or pay have been decreased. Whatever they are, accept your limitations. But don't use them as an excuse for not doing what God assigned you to do. As Almighty God, our Lord Jesus didn't have any limitations. He was all powerful, all knowing, all loving. His power, might, grace, holiness, justice, and mercy were limitless, measureless, boundless. But as a man in this world, when He entered the human race in Bethlehem that wonderful day, He was confined within an animal's feeding trough. He grew up in a small hillside town. He did no recorded miracles for the first 30 years of His life, and He lived in submission to His parents. When His ministry did start, He didn't fly around like an angel from one preaching assignment to another. He didn't have a horse or donkey except on one known occasion. His ministry area was limited to a small geographical area along the Mediterranean. He never visited the great cities of His time. He never went to Athens or Rome or Milan or Alexandria or Carthage. He had a limited education, a limited income, and a limited time for His work to be completed, about 3 years. The limitless Son of God was financially, geographically, chronologically, politically, and physically limited. And then those limitations got a bit tighter, a bit smaller, when he was confined to a cross. The nails in his hands and feet made it impossible for him to wipe his own brow, the blood from it. Yet his limitations worked for the benefit of the world. Friends, our limitations should never become excuses or justifications for staying put or staying where you are when the Creator of the universe has called on you. We must pursue. We must risk. We must invest. And more importantly, we must believe in the dream that he's planted will come true, because he's the completer of dreams. Jesus did it, and he said that we can do it too. And he proved it by going to the cross. That's all I can say, is the limitless Son of God, in his limitations as a man, still accomplished the will of his Father. That's what we're going to celebrate here through communion, the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist, whatever you call it. But it's all about Jesus. It's all about what he did for you and me and the sacrifice of love that he gave. Because without it, the pathway to God, the throne room would not be open, and we would not be able to have the relationship with God that we're having right now. We should celebrate that every day. But as we come together as a church, as a body, and online, you are part of this body today. We gather together, and we're going to take communion together. The bread and the cup, the body, the blood of Jesus. Be grateful, be thankful, rejoice, knowing that he's the only one that could, and he did it for you. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. Thank you, Lord. You are so great. We honor you so much. We believe in you. We believe in what you did, that it still means something today, that it's still valid today. And if it's valid for us, other people need to know about it. God, we got to share this testimony. We got to share what Jesus did for us. I got to tell somebody so they can know it too. That's part of the bigger picture that we're called to. It's to know Christ and make him known. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. We celebrate you. We lift you up. We praise you, Lord, for who you are. And we worship you. By taking this communion, we remember what you did for us. So bless it now, Lord, to your glory and to our remembrance. In Jesus' name, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.